Hello and welcome to English Evening on China Business Radio. This is Dong Ning. 大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。Okay, so today is Monday, and here recently there is a poll predicting the jobs or skills that will be in demand years from now is a tricky task for many teens, young adults, and their parents. Luckily, there are rich sources of information on the web, in books, and also in most people's communities. The challenge is to sift.Through them all. 那么预测呢，从现在起数年后呢，紧缺的职业或者是技能对于许多青少年和他们的父母而言呢，是一项棘手的任务。幸运的是呢，从网络、书籍和多数人所在的这个社区当中呢，都能够获取丰富的信息。困难呢，也在逐一筛选这些信息。那最近呢，一些专家也在预测，在未来的五年中呢，一些很多领域，像是科技方面的一些领域呢，会出现10万个工作机会。那其他的信息来源呢，像包括政府的预测、中高等院校的职业顾问和在成长型的行业中的很多这个工作的邻居啊和朋友等等，都会给大家一些合理的建议。比方说，在今后的哪些职业是最热门的。 So the richest vein of job growth information is the Labor Department of the United States 10 years forecast for demand, pay and competition for more than 300 jobs in 45 categories. The department's latest biannual compilation published last month as the Occupational Outlook Handbook is great for sizing up the long-term outlook for most fields. The forecasts have been predicting this decade.Its fast growth in special education teaching jobs and the widening range of hot healthcare careers, for example. 那么预测呢，在未来十年当中，工程学已知的大学毕业生起薪最高的行业之一呢，将出现就业增长最快的领域，像是有生物医学工程。那么该领域内的职位集中于开发和测试医疗创新，利用人造器官或者是成像系统。那据美国的劳工部称呢，这些职位的需求预计增长是72%，就是 biomedical engineering。Among other professions, job opportunities for physicians should be very good. The guide says healthcare dominates the list of fastest growing jobs, capturing 11 of the top 20 slots. While more attorneys and architects will be needed, competition for those jobs will be intense. Psychologists will be in demand, but growth will be fastest in industrial or organizational psychology. 那么这份美国的指南称呢，在其他的行业中，医生的就业机会呢应该是非常好的。在需求增长最快的职业列表中呢，主要都是医疗类的职业。那他们在前20位当中占据了11位。尽管未来也将需要很多的律师和建筑师呢，但这些领域的竞争是非常激烈的。市场对心理学家也很有需求，但需求增长最快的职业呢，将是工业心理学和组织心理学。Well, that means you could take a job from this list, fast-growing list when you enter college, only to find the field in slump by the time you graduate. For example, a 2006 high school graduate eyeing the American government's 2004 and to 2014 forecast for nursing at the time would have read about excellent job prospects, with thousands of job openings predicted because experienced nurses were expected to retire. 那么这份报告呢也指出，像是在当时比方说一个06届的这个高中毕业生浏览美国政府发布的2014年护理行业预测时呢，会看到当时对该职业前景的预测很乐观，理由是资深护士即将退休，因而预计会产生成千上万的工作机会，所以当时呢有很多人去选择护士这个行业。While the forecast is likely to hold for long term, the job market for students graduating from college this year is headed in opposite direction. Thousands of experienced nurses who had been inactive or retired have been re-entering the workforce because of the recession. And similarly, a high school grad in 2000, might have picked computer programming number 8 at the time on the government list of fast-growing, high-paying jobs, only to graduate afterwards of dot-com collapse. 那么像类似的呢，两千年那一届的高中毕业生呢，可能会选择计算机编程专业。当时的计算机编程呢，在美国政府发布的高增长高薪酬职业名单中的排名第八，但是他们毕业的时候呢，却遭受到了网络泡沫破灭的冲击。
So you have to forecast which job will be a hot job in the future. So because of the right now is the financial crisis, and everything you should predict very well. Okay, so speaking of which job is the hottest job in the next 10 years, and I'm sure that one job related to low carbon economy is really definitely a hot job. And here, let's introduce what is low carbon economy, because right now I think everyone just heard from the news and television about everybody is talking about low carbon economy. Actually, a low carbon economy or a low fossil fuel economy is an economy which has a minimal output of greenhouse gas emissions into the biosphere, but especially refers to the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide. Recently, most of the scientific and public opinions has come to the conclusion there is such an accumulation of GHGs, especially CO2, in the atmosphere due to the anthropogenic causes, that the climate is changing.
那么刚才提到的呢，这个将来的最热门的领域呢，其实还有一个就是低碳经济方面的这个新能源经济的一些领域。那这里呢就要介绍一下到底什么是低碳经济，因为很多人都在讨论低碳的这个生活方式。那低碳经济呢，其实是指在可持续发展的理念的指导下呢，通过技术创新、制度创新和产业转型、新能源开发等多种手段呢，尽可能的减少煤炭、石油等高耗能的这个能源的消耗，那么减少温室气体的排放，达到经济社会发展与生态环境保持双赢的一种经济发展状态。So the energy
consumption is really a serious problem right now. So how to reduce the emission of carbon dioxide is really important for nowadays everyday life for everyone.
So the over concentrations of these gases is producing a global warming that affects long-term climate, with negative impacts on humanity in the foreseeable future. Globally implemented LCEs, therefore, are proposed as a mean to avoid catastrophic climate change as a precursor to the more advanced zero carbon society and the renewable energy economy.那么低碳经济的核心呢，是能源技术和减排技术的创新，产业结构和制度的创新，以及人类生存发展观念的根本性的转变。So right now,
and also China is learning from the foreign countries like Denmark, like Sweden, and about the experience of how to live a low carbon lifestyle and also how to reduce the emission of carbon dioxide, reduce the consumption of energy. So that's all for the first part of today's show.
Okay, and now let's take a break. Listen to a song by Whitney Houston, Million Dollar Bill.
Looking for a spare in my face.
Okay, that was $1 million bill by Whitney Houston. And now let's move on to biz news. 接下来呢，我们来听听今天的财经资讯。Okay, and first one, China motorcycle exports top 3 million units in first 5 months, 前五个月。中国的摩托车出口达到300万辆。China exported 3.15 million motorcycles from January to May this year, up 39% compared to the same period in 2009 as both sales and the motorcycle production in China soared. The country's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology said recently, the total value of motorcycle exports in the first 5 months stood at $1.45 billion, up 35% over last year. Further, a total of 727,000 motorcycles were exported in May alone, up 45% year-on-year. Sales in the first 5 months within China reached 11.7 million units, a year-on-year rise of 19%, while production was boosted by 22% to reach 11.95 million units, according to a figure released by the ministry. During the same period, domestic sales of commercial buses reached 159,800 units, up 42% year-on-year, with 34,300 units sold just in May, which was a 39% increase over last year. Next one, U.S. consumer prices drop 0.2% in May. 五月份美国的消费者价格下降0.2%。Consumer prices in the United States declined a seasonally adjusted 0.2% in May, the second consecutive monthly drop, reported the Labor Department of the United States on recently. The May Consumer Price Index, which tracks inflation at the retail level, marked the biggest decline since consumer price plunged 0.7% in December 2008. Corp CPI, which exclude volatile energy and food costs, edged up 0.1% last month after being flat in April. The 0.2% drop in overall prices in May reflected a 2.9% decline in energy. Gasoline prices posted biggest decline, down 5.2% in May, the sharpest decline since December 2008. The index for food costs, which accounted for over 60% of the all items increase, kept unchanged in May. As consumer prices continue subdued, economists do not expect inflation to be a threat for a prolonged period. More economists are concerning of deflation. They believe that the Federal Reserve will have more time to keep interest rates at the record low levels to boost economy. And that was today's Biz News. And now let's move on to BBC Learning English.
Hey, 朋友们，大家好吗？欢迎继续来到我们的 BBC Learning English. 我是孙晨，这儿当然少不了我的伙伴 Jean.
Hello, everyone. This is Jean Dong. Sun Chen, I see a lot of pubs here offer food nowadays. Have you ever tried pub food?
Yes. 说句老实话吧，我还真是挺喜欢到酒吧去吃东西的呢。好吃、便宜，还有地道的英国风情。Pub food, 酒吧菜，现在对这些个英国酒吧来说啊，还是挺重要的呢。现在酒吧菜能占每家酒吧营业收入的40%。
Exactly.Food turnover is about 40% of what pubs take over the bar. It seems that the majority of pubs in Britain today are food-led.
现在的英国酒吧成了吃的开道，好像喝酒反而成了次要的了。
But what kind of food can pubs offer?
你要想知道在酒吧里能吃到什么东西 ，Jim， 我还得让你认识一个我的朋友，他叫做 Fuchsia Dunlop。他可是精通中西烹调的美食家。据说呀，他为了要学中国菜，还特地到中国四川拜师学艺呢。
Wow, that's amazing. Let's hear how Fuchsia explains.
Yeah, well, originally English pub food was really very simple. I mean, pubs were really places for drinking beer. When I was a child, bread and cheese, or maybe fried chicken with chips.Possibly fish and chips or something. And then, you know, some pubs on some days would have a traditional Sunday lunch, which means roast beef, perhaps, with potatoes and vegetables. But really, it was very simple and not very good. 我小的时候我记得我们去酒吧吃饭是很简单的，就比如说油炸鸡肉，还有土豆条，有的时候有面包和奶酪。
那觉得在你的这个眼中，英国人的口味跟这个中国人亚洲人的口味有什么不一样的地方吗？
In general, English food is quite plain. It probably seems very simple to Chinese people. And then the tastes also, I would say, quite plain.Yes, with sometimes a kind of spicy sauce to go with it. But perhaps if you compare it with Sichuanese food, for example, extremely plain flavors.
那这在酒吧里有什么著名的吃的吗？
Well, one dish that, that you find in lots of clubs is called a plowman's lunch. 农民午餐 Very, very simple. So you just have some bread, some cheese, some pickle, which is like a kind of a sauce, and maybe a little bit of salad. You might also find some pies, you know, which is, you know, meat or something with pastry all around it.
是馅饼吗？
有一点像。Usually, when you have roast beef, you have something called Yorkshire pudding, which is a sort of, you know, it's like a kind of baked cake, something made from flour and eggs and milk. And then also roast potatoes, perhaps horseradish sauce, which is a bit la in flavor, and some gravy.And vegetables, so just whatever vegetables are around, perhaps carrots and cabbage or something like that.
Gravy 用中文是个什么东西呢？
是那个烤肉那个肉出来的那个汁子，很好吃。
能跟我说说这个 fish and chips 吗？这个炸鱼薯条，这英国最著名的吃的。
Yeah, fish and chips. I mean, fish and chips most typically you find in a special fish and chip shop.But now lots of pubs also do this. Again, like they tend to have more simple food, so you can have fish and chips. But in the last few years, we've had a kind of trend in England, so-called gastropubs. And this means a sort of gastronomy pub where you have very good food. And so now you have pubs which have some of them very traditional English things, but some of them also with kind of Italian and Spanish influences. So these pubs are really very good places to eat.
Okay, let's have a quick recap.
要说到吃，英国人的口味可是比较轻。
English people have a lighter taste.
就不像我们中国人的口味那么重了。
I think so. Chinese people enjoy strong flavors.
可别忘了英国酒吧里的名吃，炸鱼薯条。
Fish and chips, yummy.
还有啊，到星期天的时候，你还能在酒吧吃到烤牛肉和约克郡布丁。
Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, normally served with roasted potatoes.
Very delicious. 这道菜当中啊，还会有烤土豆，还有调味用的肉汁儿。
Gravy.
Fuchsia 刚才还跟我们说了，现在英国呀又专门出现了以做饭出名的美食酒吧
Gastropub. Can you recommend a gastropub to me, Sun Chen?
那我们还不如现在就去呢。
Yeah, okay, let's go down the pub then.
这里是 BBC Learning English, 我们回头见。
Bye.
Okay, that was today's BBC Learning English, and now let's move on to chicken soup for the soul.
The gift of faith. The desire to be and have a sister is a primitive and profound one that may have everything and nothing to do with the family a woman is born into. Elizabeth Fishel. It was the February when I was in the fourth grade. I had just come home from school when I saw my mother rushing in and out of my room, putting new toys and stuffed bears on the bed. Mom, what are you doing? I asked.Two people from social services are bringing your new baby sister right now, my mom said. I was so happy. We'd been trying to adopt a little girl, and I was finally getting a sister. I had three brothers, and sometimes it got really boring and a little bit annoying having just boys for siblings. I had no idea that I was going to get a sister this soon. My brother Nick and I looked out of the upstairs window, waiting for her to arrive.We saw a white Jeep pull up in front of the house and a woman get out of the car. She opened up the car door and pulled out a small, chubby, pale, very pretty little sister and carried her to the front door. I straightened myself up and came downstairs. She was sitting on the floor with my little brother, Darius, playing with a toy. Her name was Faith. She had just turned 3 years old. She had big blue eyes and reddish-brown hair. I sat down to talk to her, but she was very, very quiet. I am sure that she must have been scared. We talked to the social worker for a while and tried to learn more about Faith. We found out that this would be her 11th home. Once the social worker left, we went out to McDonald's. We had so much fun, and Faith enjoyed all of the attention. I thought she was the cutest little girl I had ever seen. She played with her toys that she got from her Happy Meal and started calling me sister. I was very happy. She seemed happy too. We were sisters. When we got home, Faith and I went to play in the room that we would now share. Then, when my mom said it was time for everyone to go to bed, Faith had a fit. Because she had lived in 10 other homes, I understood why she didn't listen too well. I couldn't imagine being in 10 different homes by the age of 3. She probably thought that she would have to move again in the morning. I realized how lucky I had been to have a secure home. When she was told to go to sleep, she burst out crying. I was so shocked at how long she could cry. After about 15 minutes of crying, my mom brought her downstairs so that she could recover. It wasn't as fun or as easy as I thought it would be at first. Faith had horrible asthma attacks, and she cried every night, all night long. She even cried when she just had to tell me that she had to go to the bathroom. Faith was always getting in trouble, too. She was very sneaky and rarely told the truth. My new little sister would break my toys, color on my homework, and use all of my nail polish and perfume. She was always in someone else's conversation and doing things just to get people to notice her. She wanted attention, and it was not cute at all. She had a hard time getting used to the rules that she had to learn. I guess she thought that it just didn't matter, because she would be moved to a different home soon. After a very long time, Faith finally learned how to stay out of trouble, and I learned how to share. I also learned how to put my things away so that she would not get into them. We both had to learn. She still forgets sometimes. So do I. At first, Faith had a lot of trouble keeping up with us. She was a little chubby. At the rate she was going to weigh about 100 pounds by kindergarten. She ate huge amounts of food. My mom had her eat a little less and made her stop coming back and forth to the kitchen, getting snacks and juice all of the time. We began to give her fruit to snack on and water to drink. We even bought a tricycle for her to ride and a stroller to push her dolls around in. It took just a few months for her to lose her baby fat. Soon, she was running up and down the street like everyone else. Now she follows me everywhere I go, even when I don't want her to. At 5 years old, Faith is a very smart and talented little girl. After only 2 weeks of kindergarten, she was skipped to the first grade. While the new kindergartners were learning to write their names, Faith was already spelling, reading, and doing math. Now she has spelling tests and is learning more about addition and subtraction. I always try to help her with her homework and be a good example. Sometimes she gets a little lazy when it comes to reading and spelling, but once she gets the hang of it, I know that she will be okay. We are also taking ballet and acting classes. It is so much more fun to go with my sister. I always thought that she would be successful in acting because she is so full of drama. Faith repeats what she hears on television and pretends to do commercials in front of the mirror. She and our 9-year-old brother, Darius, even put on shows for us in the garage. Maybe one day she will be rich and famous. It's funny. I can't even remember Faith not being here. When I wake up, the first thing I see is my sister, and when I go to sleep, the last thing I see is my sister. Faith is a nice little girl whose favorite color is purple and who loves to skate. She hates getting her hair combed, dressing up, and having to help clean our room. Most of all, she hates brushing her teeth. I'm glad I have Faith as a sister because she is fun and she makes me laugh. I don't think that the people who had Faith before us gave her a chance to get settled in with them. Besides, they could not have loved her as much as we do. One day, I bet they will be sitting at home on their couch watching television and will see Faith when she is a star. No matter what she does in the future, Faith will always be a star in my heart. How lucky I am to have the gift of Faith. Nydia K. Minor.
right. And that was today's chicken soup for the soul, and that was provided by Anhui SciTech Publishing House. And now that's come to the end of today's show. Let's wrap today's show with a song. I Wish I Was a Punk Star, Punk Rocker by Sandy Fong.
Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. In 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. When the head of state didn't play guitar, not everybody drove a car. When music really mattered and when radio was king. When accountants didn't have control and the media couldn't buy your soul. When computers were still scary and we didn't know everything. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. In 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. When pop stars still remained a myth and ignorance could still be bliss. And when God saved the queen, she turned a whiter shade of pale. My mom and dad were in their teens and anarchy was still a dream. And the only way to stay in touch was a letter and the mail. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. In 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Record shops were still on top and vinyl was all that they stopped. And the super info highway was still drifting out in space. Kids were wearing hand-me-downs and playing games men kick around. And footballers still had long hair and dirt across their face. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. 77 and 69.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie 经济学，欢迎来到 Cookie 经济学。今日茶点：狗骨理论 （Dogs of the Dow Theory）。狗骨理论是美国基金经理奥西金斯提出的，没精力没能力钻研股市的投资人只要买进道琼斯工业指数中股息率最高的十只股票，再根据十强榜单每年刷新换仓，就能跑赢大盘。1975年到1999年，狗骨理论的投资回报高达18%，市场平均水平只有3%。
瑞士一波路表为您准点报时，浪漫时刻一生相伴，瑞士一波路表。